In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
Was, is, and was shall.
It's beautiful to be here with you, and it's a great blessing to be able to say, along with the hymns, the time is here. The time is here, this journey to paradise. We said in the hymns this morning, reflecting on Adam and Eve leaving paradise, and this is the Lent, the journey where we are going back to paradise. It's a way that God works healing for all of humanity. I think that we can't be reminded enough that our life of forgiveness is really a life of healing, that we heard it in various ways at the opening of the hymns, at the first sensing in the hymns, that there were three hymns that started out with comparisons, like the prodigal son, like the man who fell among the robbers, and like the fig tree. And all of these were stories of our need of God. The prodigal is returning, like we're returning to paradise, as I said before. We have fallen among thieves and robbers. This story of the well known as the Good Samaritan is very often taught about in the Orthodox Church as our sinful condition, that we have been beaten by the devil and left, stripped of dignity, stripped of the beauty of the icon of God. But he comes, and even though we have agency in sin, he comes and he gives forgiveness because of repentance, and he restores that baptismal garment that we may feel has been stripped of us, that the dignity that we have been stripped of us. And he pours oil and wine on the wounds, and we can't help but think of the holy mysteries of the church, that the holy unction is given to us for the healing of soul and body, and also the body and the blood of Christ, so that we're not only healed, but united with Christ himself bodily. That he doesn't leave us alone. And when we think about forgiveness as a healing rather than some kind of legal pardon or our withholding of some kind of punishment, I think that we can have some more thankfulness to the Lord, and also understand that he helps us to grow spiritually. This woman who was caught in adultery, after Jesus says, "Whoever without sin, let him cast the first stone," nobody remains, and he says, "Who is here to condemn you?" And she says, "No one." And then the lawgiver, the creator, the God of all, the one who is the source of life and holiness says, "Neither do I condemn you." Neither do I condemn you. And this means that she had hope, because if it's just about condemning, then where is the spiritual growth? Where is change possible? The devil will do everything in his power to convince us that we are not forgiven. Even after our confession, sometimes we hear, "I'm still very grieved at what I did, and I am still in a lot of discomfort." Well, as the hymn that talked about the fig tree says, that we're asking God to water our souls like the fig tree needs water, to water our souls with tears of repentance. Not that grief is bad, but to grieve without hope, As we also say in the funeral, is in the funeral that we have hope, that we grieve not as others do who have no hope, but grief without God is despair. And that's a passion, because this is the other side of the coin of pridefulness, that we can boast and think that we're superior, but we can also despair and think of ourselves as independent of God and beat ourselves up and hate ourselves because of our sins, and then we have forgotten God. And this is what Judas did. The word for repent that we hear on Holy Friday is not a very easy translation, but it says that Judas repented and then he killed himself. He hanged himself. That's not repentance. That's regret. And the Greek word metamelithis is what it says, that he regretted it. And that's normal, to regret sin. But then he didn't change. He didn't stay with the community. He didn't stay with the disciples. He didn't return to Christ. It was all turned inward. And so this is what we are warned against, despair, to lose hope. Grieving sins is actually a sign that Christ is shining his light on us. We don't see our sins unless Christ's light is there. And so that is a blessing. But we have to remember that and not forget, not to flee and think that it's about us and that it's just us on our own. That he does come and we have to receive his ministry. We have to receive his mysteries. We have to receive his visit as we have been on the side of the road and beaten and wounded. Yes, sometimes because of our own bad choices. But nonetheless, we receive him and we say our thank yous with a life of repentance and not with despair, because we know that we wouldn't be able to see those things without Christ. So we have to remember not to listen to that voice that says that we are not forgiven after we have received the sacred mystery of confession, because that is our return to the holiness of baptism, that garment that God clothed us with. This is the garment that we were yearning to wear. And just as the man who on the side of the road had been stripped of his garments, and Christ on the cross was stripped of his garments, he clothed us with the garment of salvation. He clothed us with the wedding garment to enter into the feast with the bridegroom. This dignity isn't even that great a word to think about this great mystery of being clothed in the garment of salvation, clothed in Christ, and that he restores that in the sacrament of confession, that yes, we may remember things that happened to us, or we may remember the things that we have done even afterwards, but we cannot listen to that voice that says that you're not forgiven. Because if you're not forgiven, then why care about anything? Christ says, neither do I condemn you. If I heard those words, which we should all internalize, it would say, go and do something better. I mean, if you were condemned, then either she would have had to die or just go and keep doing the same thing. But now she had a way out, a light. So we keep remembering that. We keep remembering that forgiveness of sins in the life of the church is something that the breath of Christ himself on his disciples has called them. He said, whatever sins you retain are retained, whatever sins that you forgive are forgiven. And this is after Christ breathes on the disciples, and he empowers us to receive forgiveness in the context of the life of the church. A return to the sanctity of baptism. Becoming saints again. Christ is the one that we unite to, and he is the one who is one with us. St. Paul beautifully says, the one who sanctifies, and those being sanctified are one. And that's the great gift that we have, that we look forward to, the gift of paradise, the gift of the bridal chamber, the gift of the wedding garment, that God clothes us in his own self, and he gives us strength. So may he continuously encourage us and help us to find joy in this Lenten journey, to find joy in among our brothers and sisters who are here and who are in the church and everywhere. May he open our hearts to do good works for one another and to find hope, even though we may grieve our sins, to know that he does not condemn the one who comes to him. May we always have his love in our hearts and share that with everyone. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, now let your servant depart.